I'm not going to win any races. Certainly not going to win tomorrow. Don't worry. I'm not in contention. But I can do better. I can compete against myself. I'm in the market for a PR tomorrow. So if anybody knows that one's available, let me know. I'm looking for one.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 299, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show will be a little different than normal, but I hope that you enjoy it. For those of you that pay attention to me on social media, or maybe you read my emails once in a while, or you've been paying attention maybe for the last several months on the show, you'll know that over this past weekend, so as this show gets released on August 22nd, over the weekend I traveled out to California to speak at the Running with the Bears marathon, half marathon, and 10K, and also to complete my fifth marathon in my quest to run a marathon in all 50 states my fifth state. I'm sorry, complete my, I think, eighth or ninth. I don't know. Lost count. The number's not even that high yet, so I might be in trouble if I don't keep a better track down the road. But my eighth or ninth marathon overall and my fifth state being California. So I'm now officially 1/10 of the way to getting my goal of a marathon in every state. And today what I want to do is a couple of things. I want to talk a little bit more about this race and why it's such a great race, why I absolutely loved just about everything about it, and why I would very strongly encourage you to think about possibly adding this race to your calendar for future years. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. The only reasons that you might not like it, and we'll get into these a little bit, is just it's a small town race and with a small town feel and a small crowd. So if you like bigger, fancier things, this might not be the race for you. But if you're open for a small race in a rural setting, this I can't recommend this race enough. And what I also want to do is go ahead and share my speech, my presentation from the Friday night pre-race event. Both because I know a lot of you guys have been asking for it, and we're looking for ways that it might be available. So I recorded it, and the audio quality is not great on it. I used like a lavalier microphone. There's a little bit of static when I was moving around. It's kind of the garble of the microphone against my shirt. But I think it's pretty good. It's good enough that you can definitely hear it. And So for those of you that wanted to listen to it, I'd love to give you that opportunity. And I'd also love feedback on it. There's a few things that I know that I could have done, kind of in hindsight or after the fact. I'm like, oh, I could have done this a little bit differently. So I'm going to obviously work on making this better. I hope to do similar presentations like this at some races next year. So if you have any feedback, constructive, preferably, although you've got destructive feedback, I'll take that as well. Please let me know on how I can make this speech a little bit better. And I'll look forward to trying to implement some of those things and make this really as good of a presentation as it can possibly be. So before we get into that, though, like I said, I want to go through the top 10 reasons that I would recommend you considering running with the Bears in 2017 or beyond. And if you want to check out more information about Running with the Bears, I'll throw this plug in there right now. Runningwiththebears.org, I think. Hold on, let me check that. Make sure it's not a .com. Yes, runningwiththebears.org for all the information about the 2017 race, which will be on August the 19th of 2017. And again, you can pay attention if that's not going to work for your calendar. Keep it on your radar because I don't think they're planning on stopping the race anytime soon. So, 2017, 2018, 2019, whatever it works out for you, I can't recommend this race enough. And here are the top 10 reasons why I can't and I won't stop talking about and stop recommending Running with the Bears anytime soon. So the number 10 reason that I loved my experience out in Greenville is that the race really was it gave me a true kind of feeling, sense of the community. The community just opened its arms and welcomed us. As somebody who grew up in a tourist town in northern Michigan, that actually this town, Greenville, California, felt a lot like my hometown, except for the mountains. We didn't have the mountains like they did there. But, I know that there's times when locals don't always participate or always appreciate a massive rush of tourists. And I didn't feel that at all. The places that I stopped or just driving around, waving, talking to folks a little bit, we were very welcomed. And we basically doubled the size of the town during the race. So the town's got about 1,200 people. There's the cap on the race at 600 runners, plus, you know, family and friends and things like that. So we're, you know, if not quite doubling it, certainly come pretty close. So there's a big influx of people. And I just felt like the community rolls out the red carpet for us and welcomes us in, which is cool. And it was a really neat feeling to just be part of the small town. So the community feel and the fact that it's just a purely, you know, the event, the community embraces the event was really, really neat. Number nine reason that I loved running with the Bears is that it's a small race. 600 people total, and that's spread out between the marathon, half marathon, and 10K. So, you know, you're not going to be too crowded. Granted, sometimes you could be by yourself a little bit, especially in the marathon, which can be a little bit disheartening, but you got great chances to place in your age group. A lot opportunities to talk to runners. Like it was really low key, laid back. The things that it can only happen at a small race. Shoot, dogs are allowed to run the race. So Pat, if you're looking for a place to take Bruce for a marathon or a half marathon, I mean, this is a race for you, brother. Bruce will be welcomed with open arms. He'll get his own bib. There's water stations water bowls, dog bowls at every aid station. And we'll talk more about the aid stations in a bit. But the best kind of atmosphere for me. Laid back, fun, small race. It was perfect. And the number eight reason is the free beer at the finish line. And this is something that a lot of races are starting to adopt. It doesn't seem like, at least as memory serves, you know, 5 years ago, this was as common, but it is certainly seems like every race now has free beer, but you can never go wrong. Although I didn't take advantage of it this year. And we'll talk about that a little bit more if you want to, or you can actually read more about that in the detailed race, my race recap on the show notes for this episode, which you can get at dizruns.com/299. I wasn't feeling so hot and I didn't think a beer sounded good, but 9 times out of 10, a free beer at the finish line is a good thing. And these are good beers from what everybody was saying too. Local breweries, you can't go wrong. Number seven, this one didn't play out this year, but usually the temperatures are very comfortable. You think of an August marathon and may not sound like the most enjoyable time of year to run, but typically you're looking at start time temperatures in the you know, low to mid 40s, and daytime highs only reach an 80 or 85. This year maybe wasn't quite such the case. The temperatures at the start were in the low to mid 50s, which wasn't terrible, but once the sun came out, it got toasty. I got in the car after the race and the little thermometer on the rental car said like 98. And that was not on the road. So I don't know what I'm saying that it was about 100 on the roads, you know, with the sun beating down, the sun radiating back off the road. It was hot at the end, but that doesn't happen often. And actually like the next day it was right back down to normal, which was frustrating, but just goes to show you can't control the weather and you just deal with what you can. But in most cases, you're going to have great weather for an August race, which is cool because a lot of times we can't run long races in the summertime because it's too hot. And so this is an opportunity to scratch that marathon itch or even the half marathon itch in the hot part of the year without typically the weather being a factor. The number six reason that I loved running with the Bears is that the metal, the bling is pretty awesome. I don't know about you guys, but in my experience with smaller races, and this is certainly a smaller race, the medals, the bling isn't always, you know, it's not bad, but it's not kind of that high end that like you might think of from some of the real big races. And this is right up. I mean, this is easily top five medals that I have, just from the looks of it, it's big. I have a picture in the show notes of it. It's this big bear claw, purple. The ribbon is really nice. It's not just a generic plain ribbon. I spared no expense for the bling. So if you're a bling chaser, this is a good one. This is a good one. And if you mentioned the small races before, if you finish in the age group, you get another piece of bling for age group finishers. So come on. And this is good bling. Well, you know, if that's something that's important to you, it is worth it. It's a nice medal. Kudos, y'all. Good job. Number five reason that I loved running with the Bears, the scenery is amazing. I've never been to this part of the United States, kind of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and it's gorgeous. You know, I'm not a big world traveler yet at this point in my life. I've mostly been in the eastern part of the U.S., but I would imagine that, you know, no matter where you are in the world, this would be considered beautiful scenery. And certainly, if you haven't been in the mountains much, it is gorgeous. Just big mountains, huge trees, that mountain air that we hear about once in a while, but maybe haven't experienced just the smell. You walk outside and you just smell like pine. It was great. You know, we're running down in the valley. There's mountains on all sides. The sun comes up over the mountain. The scenery was awesome. Well worth just going to that area and driving around for a few days and just sightseeing and looking at the different mountain lakes and all that kind of stuff, the valleys. It was gorgeous. It was a great place to run and you're not seeing a lot of big fancy parts of a city because it's a small town, but you're seeing nature, and that's a cool thing to see. For somebody who doesn't get a chance to see mountains and big trees like that on a regular basis, it was awesome. Number four, this is something that I didn't take advantage of because I didn't know about until after the race. So this, you'll have this, you know, going in for you if you decide to run Running with the Bears in the future. But, Running with the Bears, they do a polar plunge. They do a polar bear plunge type of thing after the race if you're interested in it. And I'll tell you what, at about mile 22 of the race on Saturday, I would have been willing to wrestle a bear right then, right now, to get, to take a dunk in a big vat of ice water. And I got to the finish line. I was feeling terrible, needed to go lay down in the shade and try not to throw up all over myself terrible. And so I didn't walk around enough to realize that it was there until I saw it after the fact on Instagram, saw pictures from people at the race that were in the polar plunge or in this giant ice tub. And oh my gosh, I might still be in it if I would have saw it. I might have just stayed in it for a couple of days. It looked amazing on that day. So I don't know about any of you guys, but I have I've often wished that there was an ice bath waiting for me at the end of a run or a race. And of course there never is. So I didn't even think to look for one. And of course the one time that I didn't look for one is the one time that it was available. So in the future, if/when I go back out there for this race again, I will find the freaking polar plunge. So know that it's there and take advantage of it. Nothing better for some sore muscles after a race than a dip in an ice bath. Not a whole lot always. Not always the most comfortable thing, but I love it. I love it anyway. So number three, getting into the top three reasons that I loved Running with the Bears 2016. The folks from Mountain Circle Family Services, which is the organization that puts on the event, are just some of the best people I've ever met. From Josie and Shauna and all of the social workers that were taking part in it, that, you know, were working. I mean, they were working their butts off to make this the best event that it possibly could be. Everybody was friendly. Everybody had a smile on their face the whole time. It's a handshake the first time and then it's a hug after that. And it was, that was the vibe of the entire town. And it was certainly exemplified, in shining colors by every person, that I was able to meet and chat with a little bit from Mountain Circle. So the people that are putting on this race are just great folks. You know, they're going to bend over backwards to make sure that you have as good of a time and as good of an experience as you possibly can. And they really do, go above and beyond when it comes to making every effort to make this race as great of an experience for everyone as they possibly can. The number two reason, the top two reasons, number two, the aid stations are like nothing you've ever seen at a race before. I can pretty much guarantee it. So the way the aid stations work is that different community organizations or different groups from town, and again, you're talking really small towns, so you got just a handful of community organizations, but they all host an aid station, and they're themed, and there's basically a competition between the aid stations for who are the, and there's three categories, and I can't remember all three of them. I think one of them is just the best overall theme. One of them is like what the best treat is, and there's something else. But anyway, the runners vote on the aid stations, and the winners get some money to go back to their community organization with to support whatever their organization is. So you have people going all out, dressed up in costumes, making awesome treats. It's not just the banana and a cup of Gatorade and a water option. Like, there's all kinds of fruit, there's all kinds of cookies and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, it felt like, from what I would imagine, an ultra aid station would feel like. I've never done an ultra, you all know that, but it just felt like you had this huge spread. There was potato chips and there was peanuts and there was, I mean, just anything that you would think of that might be a halfway decent thing to snack on. I should have taken more advantage of some of the salty things, but that, hindsight's 2020, but I mean, just well stocked, super friendly. You roll in with your water bottle, and they're offering to fill it up for you, and it's like, no, I can handle it. Like, I'm not, whatever. But I mean, just everybody was super, super awesome folks, and a lot of fun. And just like I said, music and costumes, and I mean, I've never experienced an aid station like that in any of the races I've run, and I haven't heard of anybody experiencing aid stations like the ones at Running with the Bears either. So can't recommend those enough, and can't applaud. It was tough to choose which aid stations were the best, because they were all so great. So very well done to everybody who was part of an aid station at this year's event. And then the number one reason that I, again, will not stop talking about Running with the Bears and will continue to promote it here and there is that it's really just, it's for a great cause. I mentioned Mountain Circle Family Services. They're the organization behind it. And they work with kids in the foster care system. And, you know, unlike some races, and I'm not going to try to throw any races under the bus, but especially some of the bigger races that they'll say that they give a certain amount of the proceeds to charity or you know, that the race is a fundraiser for something, but, you know, they spend a lot of money on advertisements and this and that, and spend all kinds of money on all kinds of things. This race, I mean, they spare no expense, but they get a lot of stuff donated, but 100% of the proceeds for this race goes right to helping the kids that they work with. And this year, between the charity runners and you know, donations and some of the different things that, you know, just the registration entries and things like that, they raised over $49,000 for, I believe that was them, maybe it was over $45,000, somewhere between $45,000 and $49,000. I don't want to get my facts mistaken, but they raised a lot of money for the kids that they work for. And you know, it's cool to take part in something that, you know, that your entry fee, that the money you raise if you do a charity runner type of event, it goes directly to the kids. You know, it's not to cover overhead, it's not to cover expenses, it's not for a fancy vehicle or anything like that. It goes right to the people that need it. And so any chance that I can get to support an organization and a cause doing great work, whether it's running related or not, I'm going to tip my hat to them, and I can't, just great to see the impact and see how grateful that all of the folks with Mountain Circle were to, you know, for every person that was there. And they knew that for every person that was there, every dollar that was raised, it was impacting the lives of kids in the foster care system. So it's just a great organization all the way around. So I can't recommend it enough. Like I mentioned earlier, if you want to see my full kind of race recap, kind of what happened for me in this race, it wasn't my greatest day. The heat got the better of me. I was good for a while. And then, boy, when the heat hits, y'all, it hits. And I've talked about that before. And you know, the funny thing is it happens to anybody. You know, I knew what I needed to do, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job, but sometimes it just happens, and there's nothing you can do. So check that out at the show notes, disruns.com/299. And now, without any further ado, I'd love to let you listen to my speech. And like I said, I'd love to hear what you think about it. So check out runningwiththebears.org for more information about next year's race and future races. And now enjoy the old pre-race festivities from yours truly.
Why do you run? Again, simple, straightforward. Show of hands, anybody ever been asked that question, why do you run? Probably from somebody who doesn't run, but keep your hand up if you think that the answer to that question is an easy one. About what I thought. A couple people think it's easy. I think that on the surface it can be very easy, but if you start to get into it a little bit more, conveying the real reasons that we do the things that we do, the reason that we get up at 4 or 5 o'clock on a Saturday to go run for a couple of hours so that we can be home before the rest of the family wakes up. The reason that we pay money to travel to races, to buy however many shoes. You know, people start running because they think it's cheap. And then realize that if you get sucked down the rabbit hole, it's anything but cheap. So this is one of those questions that's a little bit, I think there's more to it. And there's a quote from a book it's a business book. It's not a running book, but the book is called Start With Why. And the author says that, paraphrasing, but basically what he says is that most people don't struggle to know why they do stuff, but they struggle to express clearly the reason that they do the things that they do. And when it comes to running, and when it comes to that particular question, why do you run? I think that the reason that, at least the reason I struggle, I think the reason that many people struggle, is that it's an emotional question. Again, you know, the reason that you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, there's got to be something special. There's something that makes you do that. And again, it's hard to put into words. And the reason for that is biological, actually. when our brains develop, the part of our brain that is where the feelings are created, where the emotions that we experience are made, develops well before the verbal part of our brain. And those two parts of our brain don't communicate really well. So you can have this gut feeling, this deep down reason why you do something, but when somebody asks you, especially if you're not prepared for that question, it can be biologically, it's difficult to put that emotion into words. So what ends up happening more often than not is we turn to logic, because the logical part of our brain and the verbal part of our brains, those two parts of our brain talk well together. So we come up with a logical reason. And but there's nothing wrong with the logical answer, certainly. But what ends up happening is, I believe, if you dig below the surface a little bit, you take the logical answers, the logical reasons that we give when somebody asks us why we run, if we're willing to look a little deeper, we're able to start to find the words for the emotional reason, for the real reason why we run. Over the last 2+ years, since July of 2014, I launched my podcast. It's a show where I talk to runners about running life and everything in between. And in those 2+ years, I've talked to right about 200 different people, and we talk about all kinds of different random stuff. But we do tend to get back to this question of why, especially for folks that start running in their 30s or 40s or 50s. Like, why did you decide to start running at that point? And so what I want to do for the next 10 or 15 minutes, so basically until I'm done, is share a few of their stories and a few of their whys, but then try to dig below the surface a little bit and try to really get to maybe some of the emotional reasons that hopefully some of you may resonate with as well. So one of the most common logical reasons that anybody starts running is to improve their physical health. It's one of the most logical reasons why people continue to run, is to just be healthier. And Gary Stotler is a perfect example, and I've had several folks who've lost tons of weight. Gary has always been a big guy. He's played football in high school. He was a lineman, so he was a big guy then. He went to college and did what college kids do and drank a few too many beers and ate a few too much pizza and gained some more weight. Then he got married, started a family, his wife was pregnant, and he gained more weight than she did. So this process just continued to go and go and go, and pretty soon he was right at 400 pounds. He's not even sure if the last time he weighed himself, he was 397, but he thinks he gained some weight after that. So he was right there at 400 pounds. He was a big dude. And his wife decided after their second kid that she wanted to have a big goal, to run a half marathon. And so Gary, kudos for him, good husband award, decided he was going to support his wife and as much as he could, and he started to train with her. And it took a while. It took him 18 months of changing his diet and trying to lose some weight and walking until he took his first running step. But eventually, he has done a handful of half marathons, a couple of marathons. He's done 2 ultra marathons. And next year, he's running the Leadville 100. So obviously, he's gotten into this and it's just fallen in love with it. And I think that for Gary, that love is the underlying emotion of why he continues to do it, to run, why he continues to do this crazy thing that we all do as well. And it's not only the love for the running, but I think for him, it's love for his family, love for his wife, it's love for his kids, it's love for himself, to take better care of himself. He got into this sport and now he's hooked. And a lot of folks, I think, can kind of resonate with that, whether you started at 400 pounds or not, that love for ourselves is a big draw. And on the other kind of flip side, or maybe the second most common reason that I get, is the mental health benefit. So you got the physical health and you got the mental health. And Angela Murphy is a perfect example of that as well. She's an amazing woman, and you're about to find out why. But she works as an accountant. And I was talking to her a couple of years ago. This was actually not this past spring, but 2015. And she was thinking about running a marathon, which would be your second marathon, and the date was like the first part of May, end of April, first of May. So the bulk of her training was going to be during the busiest part of the tax year. And I said, are you sure this is something you want to do? Like, you're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week during that time of year, and you're going to commit to marathon training as well? And I mean, I'll never forget. She said, I need that to keep my mind right. It'll force me to not work as many hours. I'll have this schedule. I'll have to get my runs in. I'll have to do these things to take my mind off of the stress that I know I'm going to experience because I experience it every year at this time. So I said, hey, let's do it. And we were working together. I was helping her with her training. And I got an email from her in, I don't know, middle of March, right when things were ramping up to be as demanding, both from running and marathon training side of things and from the tax season side of things, and said, basically, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with the running, but we lost our son this weekend. Yeah. I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? Obviously, whatever you need from me is what we'll do. She decided to continue training and continue running. And obviously, it wasn't the best race for her. But we talked a few months later for the show, and we got into a little bit of the details of that experience. And she said that without a doubt that she needed the running to help her cope, to help her deal with the grief that she was experiencing at the loss of, he was 16 years old. And so, you know, the mental health side of things, of the stress, the day-to-day anxiety, depression, just work stress, family stress that we all experience, certainly helps. But for Angela and for other folks that, whether I've talked to or just seen on Twitter and social media, when things are really bad, running can be that stabilizing force to just kind of keep your head above water when you need it the most. So the mental benefits of running are huge, I believe. Sally Stillwell had a similar loss, although that wasn't the thing that springboarded her into running. When she got married shortly after college, her husband, a few years later, had cancer and passed away. So she found herself in a situation where all of her friends, all of her peers were getting married, starting a family, and she was a widow and kind of alone. She had some casual friends, but nothing that was a strong support network with for where she lived. No family, nothing like that. And one day, a coworker who was an avid runner and was not much more than a coworker at the time just asked, hey, do you want to go for a run? You want to run with me? And so she took her up on the offer. And since then, they've become great friends, and she's met dozens of other runners. And she lives in New York City, so there's no shortage of runners that she's been able to meet and get to know. And just the community aspect that she's been able to find, the support, has been, so important for her as she's grown and still single but now she's got a network around her, a support group of people that she can relate to, it's no longer, she's not the youngest one at the widower's group. She's now a runner with runners, and that emotional connection of being around people that we can relate to, that community, that tribal belonging that has been part of human beings since human beings became a thing. We've always had that desire, that draw to be part of something a little bit bigger than we are. And I don't know. There's lots of great communities out there, but I may be partial. But the running community is pretty darn fantastic. We help each other out, and I think that's something that Sally has definitely found and continues to find as she gets more and more involved in the community. And speaking of the community and doing, being there for each other, the reason you all are here tonight, the reason that this is happening, is the running community coming together to do something for the greater good. And that's something that Beth Ann Telfer did as well. She ran her first marathon, was the Marine Corps Marathon in 2001. She ran it as part of a group raising money for AIDS awareness. Fell in love with the race, started running it every year. And a few years later, she was running, got close to mile 19. She says she can remember the exact spot that her ears popped, kind of like what you'd experience in an airplane, just the pressure type of pop, which shouldn't have popped at that point, but it did. Staggered her a little bit, a couple of random steps. She corrected herself, ran the race, no big deal. But over the next couple of days, things weren't right. She was forgetting things that she should never forget. She was being confused very easily. Went to get things checked out and found out that she had a brain tumor. So she kind of credits running for diagnosing her with a brain tumor, which is kind of we joke about that a little bit. But since that point, it changed her career or her life trajectory. Obviously, I mean, the cancer diagnosis clearly does that. But now she basically dedicated her life and has continued to dedicate her life towards helping to raise money, raise awareness for brain cancer. And even above and beyond that, her focus is pediatric brain cancer research and brain cancer treatment. She said point blank, like, I've had a great life, but these kids that have never known life outside of the cancer ward, like, that's where we need to make the difference. And that's what she does. It's marathons. She started her own foundation where she contacts big, huge corporate sponsors to get all kinds of money to go towards this research. She lobbies politicians. She does all this, you know, marathons, triathlons, Ironmans. And next year she's doing the 777 challenge, which, if you're not familiar with that, is seven marathons, one on each continent in 7 days. So pretty epic. And her reason for doing that is, the bigger and more epic things that I do, the more likely it is to attract media attention, which means the better chance I have to make a difference. And, you know, you can do big stuff like that. You cannot, but that opportunity to make a difference is something that runners clearly take advantage of every chance that they get. Roz Vaughn is an interesting dude. He likes the big epic things. I don't know that the 777 thing is something that would be up his alley necessarily, but what he likes to do is, you know, and one of the reasons that he continues to run, is to push the limits of what is possible. So if you've ever thought that a distance is impossible, don't tell Roz about it, because he'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, his list of things is ridiculous. He's done several 200-mile races, which, I don't know if any of you guys are ultra runners, but that's just, it's ridiculous. Running for 68 straight hours is just, I mean, I don't know how people do that, but he does them all the time. Like, that's just like a day at the office for him. And the other thing that he likes to do is find things that haven't been done before, or if they have been done, how can he tweak them to make it more difficult and allow him to be creative to figure out a solution for it? So, you know, things like doing a double loop around a mountain or a trail that people have done it once a bunch of times, but how many people have ever done it twice? Well, I'll do it twice. He's done the rim-to-rim thing, if you're familiar with that, in the Grand Canyon, where you start at one rim and you hike and run down and you go across and you hike and run up, take a photo, take a little selfie, and then come back down and go back up. He's done that, only it's I have to use my fingers here, but it's the rim-to-rim-to-rim-to-rim-to-rim-to-rim, which ends up being, if you do the math, 110 miles and 68 hours and change. Why? Because nobody'd done it before. So he wanted to see if it was possible. He runs to push the limits. And I think that not only is he trying to push the limits, but he's also scratching that itch for curiosity, which I think, again, is another just inherently human trait. You know, I mean, how did we ever get to this point in our technology if we weren't, in life, in society, if we weren't curious about how can we make something better? How can we make something easier? How can we, you know, find out that the world's not flat? You know, we are curious people, and he demonstrates his curiosity by just pushing the limit every chance he gets to do something that others might think is impossible. Sally McRae, you may be familiar with her name. She's one of the best ultra-distance runners in the world. She runs, and really her whole life has been all about competition. She, you know, as a kid, loved beating the boys on the playground in little races and running community events. And she was a great soccer player as a kid. Was recruited to all the best universities in the country to go play soccer. Was part of the U.S. Women's National Team development team, which is something that there'll be different camps throughout the country that youth can be a part of to kind of get the eye of the scouts. She was always looking for ways to compete and do better. And life situation happened, and she had to kind of give up soccer. And a few years later, she found running. And as soon as she found running, she was hooked. She was, you know, well, I might as well. Can I go faster? Can I beat more people? Like, what can I do? That spirit of competition is alive and well with Sally. And, you know, she's been running professionally for Nike for a handful of years now. And that competition continues to drive her to continue to do more. But I think that at the emotional level, like, you can say that competition, maybe that's a bad, you know, can be a borderline good, bad type of trait. But for Sally, if you talk to her, or you get to listen to her talk, you really quickly, I think we'll discover that her drive of competition is to just improve herself. She just wants to always get better. So that, you know, that may be by racing other folks, and that may also just be by doing a harder workout, by comparing her times to her times in the past in the same course or the same condition. So that internal sense of competition is real for her, and I know for me that's something that definitely drives me to keep going, is that race to always, can I get a little bit faster? How can I do this? Can I go a little farther? Whatever my competition might be. And I think for her that just internal drive to continue to improve keeps her out there, and I mean, and she loves it obviously, but it just keeps her going. And then the last but not least for tonight, the thing that I think that we can all agree with, whether you want to agree with some of the other reasons that people have given for why they run or not, I think that if you do this very much at all, you got to enjoy it. It's got to be something that you find as being fun. You know, there may be parts of it that aren't as fun as others, but we wouldn't keep doing what we do. We wouldn't keep putting one foot in front of the other if it wasn't fun once in a while. And when I think of the 200 plus chats that I've had on the show, there's one name that comes out as just the most fun, and it's Sarah Welly. She just exudes joy every chance she gets. And when I start each episode of the show, I only have one question that I ask every person that I talk to. And it's the first question of the podcast, and it's, what is your favorite distance to race and why? Without missing a beat, Sarah said, can I say the Beer Mile? I knew we were going to have a good chat after that. And if you're not familiar with the Beer Mile, here's the scope. It's typically run on a track. You start at the start line when the gun goes off or when the race officially starts. You crack open a beer, you drink it as fast as you can, and then you go and run one lap around the track. You get back to the finish line, you stop, you crack open your second beer, repeat, open, drink, repeat. So you end up doing your mile as fast as you can while you also drink four beers as fast as you can, and it's the elapsed time that determines the winner. So you got your runners that are really fast, you got your beer drinkers that can drink fast, and whoever rises to the top of those two disciplines is the winner of the Beer Mile. Not my idea of a great race, I'll be honest. I'll take the beer after the race maybe, but not so much midway through. But just somebody that would want to do that. I mean, she was looking for an opportunity to do the Beer Mile. Clearly she enjoys running. She might enjoy beer a little bit as well, but that's a conversation for another day. But obviously she loves to run. She just gets joy from it. And I think that anything that we do regularly, over and over and over again, we have to find joy in it, or else we wouldn't keep coming back for more. So as we start to wrap things up tonight, this is a quote, and for those of you who can't read it or can't see it, I'll read it for you. But it's a quote that a few years ago I stumbled upon, and it says that people that ask why I run, let me make sure I say it right here. People ask why I run. And I say, if you have to ask, then you'll never understand. And when I first saw that quote, I kind of looked at it from a runner snob perspective. Like, if you're asking why I run, then clearly you're not a runner. So clearly you won't understand why I run. And the more I've thought about it and stewed on it a little bit and learned a little bit more about the biology of how our brains work, like I talked about earlier, if you ask me why I run and you don't understand, it's probably because I'm not very good at explaining it. I'm probably not good at really impressing upon you the reasons that I do what I do. And from a biological perspective, it's tough. But again, if you think about it, if you have an answer somewhat prepared, you can maybe get to the answer to the question of why do you run. So why do I run? The short answer is I run because it makes me a better person. Now, if the person asking me why I run gets that answer, if they really care, what's the most obvious follow-up question in the world? How? How does running make you a better person? They don't care, they're not gonna ask, so I'm not gonna go through the rest of the spiel, but if they ask, obviously they care. So, another one. Like Gary, I run because it helps me to love myself. And the more I love myself, the more I'm able to pour out that love on the family and friends that are around me. Like Angela, I run because it helps to calm my mind. When life seems like it's going crazy, a good run solves a lot of problems. Like Sally Stillwell, I run because y'all are my people, and the more I can be around you guys, the happier I am. I just love that bond that we have. We've never met, and we've got a bond because we're runners. Like Beth Ann, and clearly like all of you, I run because it gives me a chance to make a difference. To whether it's the local community, whether it's the bigger community, running gives me a chance to give back and help out. Like Roz Vaughn, I run because it does give me a chance to push the boundaries. I never thought I'd be a marathon runner 10 years ago. And now my goal is to run a marathon in every state. And who knows where, you know, this will be, you know, everything goes well tomorrow. This will be state number 5. But who knows, you know, what will be after that. Maybe an ultra marathon, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Like Sally McRae, I am competitive. I grew up as an athlete. I love playing sports. And as an adult, this is my chance to still be competitive. And I'm not going to win any races. I'm certainly not going to win tomorrow. Don't worry. I'm not in contention. But I can do better. I can compete against myself. I'm in the market for a PR tomorrow. So if anybody knows that one's available, let me know. I'm looking for one. But most importantly, like Sarah Welly, I run because it just brings me joy. Every chance I get that I can go out there and run, even if it ends up being a bad run, by God, I'm still happier after I do it. So those are the reasons that I run. And as we're wrapping up tonight, I would love to challenge you guys to, you know, whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's next week, whatever, think about the reasons that you run a little bit, but don't stop at the logical reasons. Dig a little bit deeper. Look for the emotional reasons so that the next time somebody asks you why you run, because it will happen again. You run long enough, somebody's going to ask you again, why do you do that? You'll have a reason that you can give them that just might explain somewhat accurately why we do the things we do. So thank you all for being here tonight. I will see you all at the starting line in the morning.
All right, guys, that wraps up episode 299. A little look back at my experience at running with the Bears, and also a little chance to eavesdrop on the presentation that I gave. I'd love to hear what you think. Love to hear your thoughts on the speech. How can I make it better? What parts did you like? You know, what were the things that I shouldn't change? You know, maybe let me know some of those things too. If there's something that you really like, you know, a story or a line or something that I said, an analogy, let me know so that I don't, as I'm tweaking and making changes to this in the future, don't take something out that you thought was really, really, you know, really good, that really stood out. But let me know any feedback. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or you can even head over to the show notes and leave a comment and feedback there as well. And then others can build upon it as well at dizruns.com/299. Also, again, runningwiththebears.org. Check it out. Sign up if you're interested, if you think that might be something that would be fun for you. Or do it as a charity event. Raise some money. The threshold is much smaller than it is for a lot of the bigger races. And the impact, I would argue, is more profound. So don't hesitate to be a charity runner. For the Mountain Circle Family Services, it's much appreciated and definitely makes an impact. So if you have any questions about the race itself and you want to just reach out to me about them, I'll be happy to answer them to the best of my ability, or I'll reach out on your behalf if necessary to Josie, the race director, or to Shauna, who's the director of Mountain Circle Family Services, to get those questions answered. So you can decide if you think that being part of the Running with the Bears family is something that might be in your future. And in case you can't figure it out yet, I can't recommend enough that you give Running with the Bears Marathon, Half Marathon, 10K a chance, because it was pretty much hands down my best race experience. The race itself didn't go well for me, but the entire experience around the race, the weekend, was nothing short of fantastic. So I would wager to say that you would have a very similar experience if you head out to California one of these years in August and run a future running of Running with the Bears. So with that, guys, let me know what I can do to help you. Let me know what questions you have about Running with the Bears, and let me know what you thought about the speech. Look forward to hearing from you, and see you next time for episode 300. Who would have thought? Episode 300, special treat for you coming up on Wednesday. So stay tuned, and until then, take care, guys.